I want you to imagine for a moment that you're on a plane. You're sitting there in your seat. The plane takes off. You're chilling out, listening to your music, maybe reading a book, just waiting to get to your destination. Then all of a sudden, tragedy hits. The plane goes down and crashes. Does a water landing into the Hudson River. A lot of you probably know what I am talking about. I'm talking about the miracle on the Hudson portrayed in the great movie Sully. My next guest, Dave Sanderson, he was on that plane. In fact, he was the last passenger on that plane because he put everybody else first. Thankfully, everybody survived, and he helped the captain get everybody and the stewardesses get everybody off that plane until he was the last one off. And this incident, like most of us, would change his life forever. He's now a best-selling author, goes around the world, talks to tons of people, including first responders, and he inspires and motivates them. Dave Sanderson is back on the CJ Evolution podcast. You're going to love this show. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to the top-ranked Criminal Justice Evolution podcast. Big shout out to all those brave men and women working in the criminal justice field. We salute all of you. Thank you for doing a very difficult job in a very difficult environment. So excited to be partnered with Detectacam. Mobile threat detection is now available in the palm of your hand. This amazing company. I had Greg Gentini on the show from Detectacam a couple weeks back, an amazing guy working for an amazing company. They are protecting our brave men and women every day. Head over to cjevolution.com, see the link for Detectacam, see what they can do for your organization. Folks, if you can't get enough of the CJ Evolution podcast, you can head over to WMAPradio.com. That's WMAPradio.com. You can find my show every weeknight, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, head over to WMAP.com. On to the show with the one and only Dave Sanderson. Dave Sanderson back on the show. Dave, are you there, sir?
I am. Thank you again for having me, Patrick.
Well, thank you. The last time you were on the show was a couple of years ago. And again, sir, it's an honor and privilege to have Dave Sanderson back on the show. Can you give the listener a little bit more about your background, Dave?
Oh, well, thank you. It's been quite an amazing several years. So here's the short version. 35 plus years in sales and sales management. Survive a plane crash known as the Miracle on the Hudson, changes sort of the direction of what I was going to do and my destiny. And as I transitioned out of sales, I went into speaking, public speaking, and being an author and working with people about how to grow from whatever traumatic life event and or challenging situation they have. So it's been quite a ride over the last 30 plus years.
Yeah. And you've talked to thousands of people from around the world, and you got a couple books out there, Dave, right? You got Moments Matter and Brace for Impact. Can you talk about those for a minute?
Yeah. Brace for Impact was the first one. And candidly, it's that sort of, you know, just gave me some perspective on what a book's all about. Cause I did it with a number of different people. Cause none of it, candidly, between us, none of us knew what we were doing. So fortunately we had each other to fall back on, but that was a great experience. But then I was really wanted to do my own, you know, book about what that experience was like. More importantly, but how all those moments in my life really came together into that day, and I could pull from those moments. So that's what the second book's about. It's really about those lessons and the skills that you use when you're facing those challenging times in life, and that's what the second book's about. And we're working on the third book right now. So I'm really just very honored to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. And Moments Matter is kind of the same thing, right, sir?
Yeah, it's it's about the, what I realized, Patrick, was that, after a situation with a couple ladies down the street, and they were older ladies and they needed some help, and you're their neighbor, so you're going to help them. But after I helped them, we were having milk and cookies, and of course I love milk and cookies. Who doesn't like milk and cookies for a couple older ladies, right? Who's going to turn that down? I was looking at one of their books they had on their coffee table. The book opened it up. There's pictures of concentration camps. And I love World War II history. And all of a sudden they came out. I said, "What? You know, where'd you get these books?" And they said, "Well, we were there." And they rolled their sleeves up and showed the numbers going down their arms. And I said, "Please share the story with me. Can I record it?" They would not let me record it, but they shared for 2 hours a story on how they survived the concentration camp. And it really showed me that all these moments, these ladies survived one of the most horrific situations, and how the moments they drew from have made them very successful. And that's what really drove me to do that book, Moments Matter, and how things have transitioned. So that's how that book came together.
Yeah, that's amazing. And What really strikes me, I mean, the whole your story is just amazing, and I want to dig deeper into it. But you were one of the last people on the plane, right, Dave? When
that's correct, and the last passenger off the plane,
and you were yes. you were helping people off the plane, and that's a testament to your character. When you're faced with that decision, because it's fight or flight, you know that. I mean, it's yep. your survival instinct steps in. You know,
right.
How did you make the decision right there? To do the right thing and to help people, because a lot of people, I imagine that they're oh my God, they're going crazy and they're hysterical, rightfully so. But you stayed on the plane. A lot of people probably wouldn't do that, Dave. Am I wrong?
Well, you know, I think everybody's got to make their own judgments. And one of the things I've learned out of this, Patrick, is you don't judge other people, mm-hmm. especially when they're chatting those challenging sure. situations, because you just don't know what to do. Fortunately for me, you know, I had a lot of training being in security for Tony Robbins and all the training that I had. Through my years, but the decision came for me when I got to the aisle, because candidly, you know, people yelling, go, 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 right? Mm-hmm. And you're thinking about going, but then I heard my mother in my head say, if you do the right thing, God will take care of you. And I tell people, as I thought about that statement, that my mother, she didn't say do the right thing. She said, if you do the right thing. And she, one of the great things about my mother, and I think one of the things that I probably have failed as a parent more often than not, is I don't make my kids make decisions for consequences, as my mother made us when we grew up, we had consequences of the decisions we made. And I think that's one of the things I learned. And so when she said that, it's like, I was all right. Our other people need help. And that's why I went to the right instead of the left, towards the back of the plane. See, anybody needed help and just got behind everybody else and started seeing how to work. And by the back of the plane, water was anywhere from about waist to chest deep, because the back of the plane was already submerged underwater. Mm-hmm. At that point in time, it's 36 degree water. And you know, it's dark in the back of the plane. So that decision came because of something my mother said in my head at that moment. And candidly, it was a life-changing experience for me.
The story is amazing. That really I like about the story, The Miracle on the Hudson, Dave, is this changed your life. Now, I know that sounds like, you know, a no-brainer, but a lot of people have things in their life where you think it would change their life and it would, you know, put them on a different path, but it literally puts you on a different path from where you were, right?
That's correct. I think what really happened is, you know, I started realizing a lot of things as I was going through that day. But after I started thinking about it, my worldview changed, and I knew that my life was going to change some way. But, you know, fortunately for me that I had some coaching from a friend called Tony Robbins, who was giving me some
little known guy.
Well, some people may or may not have heard of him, but I was very fortunate. He was giving me some coaching on what to expect and what some of the things and options I may have as I start looking at this. And it was very, I was very fortunate to have people in my life that gave me great mentoring, great coaching. So I knew that my life was going to change somewhere, but I didn't know it was going to really change in this direction. But once I had that, you know, happen for me, Patrick, a week after the plane crash, when I spoke for the first time at my church,
yeah,
and an older lady came up and just, you know, at the end of my talk, I didn't know who she was, probably 80, 90 years old, and said, you know, I was questioning if there is a God, and I don't believe in miracles, but you are physical evidence that there is a God, and he does miracles. And that moment, that's the moment I tell people how moments matter. That moment changed everything, because I realized that I impacted somebody's life. And maybe that's what I was supposed to do at that point. Maybe I need to go out and start impacting people's lives. So that one moment changed the entire destiny of my life.
And do you believe, maybe this is a dumb question, but I'll ask it anyway, do you believe God put you on that plane for a reason?
I believe, and this is my belief, that everybody was on that plane in a certain seat for a reason. Because I think that whether it's the captain, whether it's the first officer, whether it's me, whether it's other people, everybody was on that plane for a certain purpose. And whether you believe in a greater being or not, of course, that's your belief and your judgment. But I believe I gave up that first class seat at 5 o'clock to be at seat 15A for a reason. And yeah, I think I was on that plane for a reason.
Now, how do you get, Dave, and did you, I know you talk about this, but how did you get past, you know, the PTSD and the emotional anguish? I mean, maybe you don't ever get past it, but how do you cope with things like that?
Well, that's a great question, because, you know, that's why I did my TED talk, because I saw so many people in pain, not only from our situation, but other situations. Mm-hmm. And whether it was the earthquake down in Haiti or whether it was the avalanche over Nepal, and I was meeting all these people who are in pain. But I didn't have that kind of pain. So I started going back thinking, what did I do differently than everybody else that I was running into? And there's a number of different things that I did, but I think the first thing that I did is I processed it a different way. And what I mean by that is this, I had the opportunity to go out and speak. Now, be very candid, everybody on that plane had that same opportunity, whether it's the captain, whether it's me, whether it's the flight attendants, whether it's the pat, but I took that opportunity. And one of the things I've learned about this situation, about all my life, is, a lot of people who may have made a different decision, and I don't judge them for that, they get it in their body, and so they start thinking in their heads, they start thinking, why does this happen to me? Why does this always happen to me? And they start chunking in their head so deeply they can't get out. That's so they go into a depressed state or even worse. But what I did is I processed it in a way that I got it out of my body. Mm-hmm. I talked about it. And I think that was the first step that I did. And there's a number of different things that I did do, but I think that was the first thing that I did compared to some other people. Now, some other people were speaking, like the captain and other people, they got it out of their body too. And they were going through some depressed states, as we saw in the movie Sully, right?
Yeah.
And he was going through some challenges. And he had a lot of different challenges going on.
Yeah.
But he got it out of his body, and he processed it a different way likewise. So I think it all came down to the way we all processed it. And some people didn't process it the same way, so they went into a depressed state to the point where they never got on a plane again.
Yeah.
And they lost their jobs, or some people even lost their marriages because they couldn't process it.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dave. Very therapeutic to talk to people, but a lot of people won't get in front of people and share experiences. I mean, that's a fear, and I get that. But yeah, I mean, it's very... I imagine it was very therapeutic for you to get that off your chest, and that's probably helped you tremendously.
That helped me getting out of my body. Like, it's getting it out of the body, right? Because if it's out of my body, it can't get so deep in there, so I won't retain. Mm-hmm. And I think that was number one. Number two is when I talk about state management, how to manage your mind, I knew how to manage my mind through my physiology, what I focused on, and or my language patterns in my mind. So that's the second thing that I did, is how I managed my state, where other people may not have had those skill sets that I learned and been able to use over and over again. Because when you're in sales, right, you have to present to people all the time. You're in front of people all the time. Sure. You have to be in the proper state of mind to get them to be, hopefully influence them to make a decision, hopefully for you, but the right decision for them. Mm-hmm. So that was another step that I did that I was able to do, and a skill set that is invaluable for life skills.
Yeah. And I remember I told you that my wife saw the movie Sully a couple of weeks ago. I saw it before you came on the show a couple of years ago. But I remember it just made me think, Dave, that I think Tom Hanks did an amazing job portraying Sullenberger. But something just struck me when you said that Sullenberger was portrayed. He was a great man, obviously. He is a great man, obviously. But he was he was introverted a lot, and he wouldn't tell his wife a lot, and he held all that in internally. At least that's what was portrayed in the movie.
Right. Yep. Exactly. That's how exactly was portrayed in the movie. And you could see why he was going through some of those challenges, right? Because everything was coming in, as you saw the movie, right? Everything was sort of closing in from a lot of different directions. So I could see why people like him, he and some other people may have gone through a depressed state. The way things were going and being approached, and maybe not being an introvert is a harder way to handle it, because
sure.
How are you going to get out if you're introverted, keeping inside so much?
Now, do you keep in contact with any of the other passengers or the captain or anybody that was part of that day?
I've had opportunity to be around many of them, but the one I am the closest to is a gentleman who I was in the hospital with, because what I found out later is there were two people left in the hospital, Barry and I, and everybody else, went their separate ways that night. So Barry and I have a sort of a bond that I think will never be broken. We were in the hospital. We went to New Jersey. We were in the hospital together, and we live about 2 miles apart, which we didn't know until in Charlotte. So we actually can get together. We get together probably twice, two, three times a year, just to sort of catch up. And he's now retired. He sold his company. He's climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. God bless him, man.
Oh, geez.
He's living life, man. God bless Barry. Yep.
Yeah. Now let's switch gears a little bit, Dave, if you don't mind, for a few minutes. Let's talk about leadership. It's so important. You obviously displayed leadership that day. You continue to display leadership. How can we, because I think a large part of leadership is influence. Now there's bad influence, so there's good influence. You know that. I think the good leaders have good influence over people. How can people out there, how can a listener increase their influence in a good way?
Well, number one, I think it comes down to a couple things. Number one, you have to have not only certainty in yourself, because leaders, great leaders, have certainty in themselves. They exude certainty. So as when all, and be very candid, you know this being in the law enforcement, when all stuff's breaking loose around you, the one with the most certainty is the one who becomes a leader. That doesn't matter whether you're you may be the commander, you may be the guy who's, cleaning toilets, but if you exude certainty, you now become the leader. And that's what happened on the plane that day, to give you an example. Mm-hmm. People stepped up who gave certainty at the moment of most uncertainty, and people are automatically drawn to that. Second, the leaders understand the mission or the purpose. And they can share the purpose because they know it, they've lived it, they're internalizing it. So great leaders not only have certainty, but they can give certainty to that mission so people can understand the mission and be able to execute the mission, whether it's in a life and death situation or whether it's in even a relationship. Mm-hmm. If you understand why you're doing this together, all of a sudden you have a common bond and, 1 + 1 equals more than 2.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think? Because I think, and I don't know what your take is on this, Dave. I think there's first of all, there's a big difference between a manager and a leader. But I think at least, and I can speak for law enforcement because I was in it for over 2 decades. I think that there's a leadership void in law enforcement. I know you speak to a lot of first responders, and thank you for doing that. I know you got a big thing tomorrow. But
that's right.
What's your take on that? Do you think? I mean, everybody talks leadership, which is obviously very important. But I think. Not a lot of people, walk the walk. They might talk it, but their actions don't, match up to what they're saying, at least in my perspective.
Well, that's a great question. That's exactly the talk I'm giving tomorrow down here in Florida. Because one of the reasons they asked me to come here is because they see that they need to develop leaders here. There's a lot of deputy sheriffs that I'm going to be around tomorrow that are in a position, but a lot of people, especially, and I'm not stereotyping, but what I've seen, because I've had the opportunity to be around so many sheriffs and first responding units and EMTs and firefighters, that they're leading situations. But see, great leaders lead people.
Yeah.
See, leadership's about leading people. It's not about leading situations. Managers manage situations and projects, right? And that's a whole different skill set. It's about personal leadership, though. All of a sudden, it's focused on that. How can I lead a person to do a better outcome? Mm-hmm. So one of the things I'm going to talk about tomorrow is about adaptive leadership. About, and one of the things I talk in depth about now, and the new material I talk about is about, process saves lives. And it's always about consistent adaptive leadership, to have consistently learning how to lead people in ways to help them add value to other people first. So that's actually a point that I'm going to be talking about tomorrow, is about how process saves lives. Mm-hmm. Only maybe physically, but maybe emotionally, maybe physically, maybe spiritually, maybe financial life. You have to have processes, and adaptive leadership is all about that.
Yeah, and I love it because, as you know, Dave, law enforcement has been, over the last several years, law enforcement has, it's been going through a tough time. Law enforcement's a difficult job. We all know that.
Yep.
But people, at least in Colorado, and from my perspective, people aren't flocking to law enforcement like they did years ago. When I remember applying for a job, 2 decades ago, and there'd be 100 or 200 people there for a handful of job. People aren't like that anymore. And I think what you're doing is amazing and much needed, because we need to inspire, we need to develop and mold the next generation of leaders that can take the mantle and go forward.
Well, you know this because you've been in it a lot longer than a lot of people. The part of the challenge is now a lot of the folks, especially in sheriffs and or law enforcement, don't know which way to turn because, they're getting it from the public, they're getting it from the people they're pursuing. They don't know what is right or what is wrong. Mm-hmm. So they get stifled, right? And when you get stifled, you don't do any action.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. And all of a sudden they're scared to take action or step up and be a leader. I mean, so I think one of the things that, we really have to instill with the next generation of folks is, there is right and wrong. You're here to for a purpose, and you're here to help people understand there is right and wrong, and you're here to enforce the right and the wrong. And so that's part of being a leader. It's about leading people, and I think that's part of the issue now. So many people don't know what's right versus what is wrong.
Is that what you're hearing, Dave, when you talk to law enforcement? Because I know you talk to a lot of them, first responders. Is that what they're telling you? I mean, one of them, probably many things that they're telling you is that, you know, it's just, it's a rough environment. We get that, but they don't know which way to turn because there's so much criticism out there. Is that what they're telling you?
That's it. Yeah. I actually got that when I spoke for the North Carolina Sheriff's Association a couple of years ago, when I had the opportunity to meet all the sheriffs across North Carolina. And of course, then I really became good friends with the local sheriff where I live. And he's got the biggest county population wise in the state of North Carolina. And he and I spent a lot of time talking about that because, you know, there's a lot, I mean, especially after they, and I'll give you a certain situation he and I talked about. And then I went and came and talked, spoke to his group. It was after they had the riots in Charlotte. And all of a sudden, you know, I mean, you have people bust in, there's riots, people breaking windows, the sheriff and law enforcement's there. But all of a sudden you got the media there showing them doing what they needed to do to get under control. But then they're the bad guys. Mm-hmm. And then you have some people who are in city governments saying, you know, just let them go ahead and do this because they need to get it off their chest. But that's not right. And the sheriff and the law enforcement come the other direction. So I remember he and I had that conversation after that riot situation. It was, you know, I learned a lot from him that day when we had that conversation.
And I agree with you. I mean, a lot of it comes from politicians, whether it's municipal, state, or federal, that are kind of stoked, not everybody, but some of them kind of stoke the fire. And that's what creates, because people, I think, especially people that aren't keeping themselves educated, they look at somebody, you know, some talking head on the news saying, you know, police are bad and they're doing this, and they just automatically believe it.
Yeah. Well, I know what happened in Baltimore, right? It's exactly what happened in Baltimore. You had the mayor basically backing the rioters, and the sheriff and the law enforcement didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Right? And they were told to stand down, and all of a sudden they're the bad guys? So I know they're in a very difficult situation. That's why I have so much compassion and want to speak for as many law enforcement organizations as I can, because I'll try to bring a different perspective and give them support and how to lead in trying situations.
Well, we always, law enforcement always, you know, there's peaks and valleys, Dave. And, you know, I think we'll come out of this, you know, and I think people like you out there talking and, you know, and motivating and inspiring people, I think that's definitely helps because, again, I think there's, and I like to think that the majority of people out there support first responders, support law enforcement. I just wish they were more vocal than they are.
Right. Yeah. I think everybody's afraid to say anything right now because they will be judged immediately.
Well, sometimes you got to put yourself out there. You're doing it. And, right. You know, you speak from the heart and you're speaking the truth and you got to put yourself out there. And that's what really matters.
Take a stand.
Well, brother, I know you got to go. I know you got things to do, but I appreciate it so much for being on the show today. How can people reach out to you? How can people find your books?
Well, thank you so much. So there's a couple best ways. Number one, if you reach out to me on LinkedIn, my name is David Sanderson on LinkedIn. Someone got Dave Sanderson. Go to David Sanderson because every day, Patrick, I share what I call your moment that matters today based on my book. I leave about 2 minutes of content about leadership every day because I want to make sure that, you know, people can understand that there's a lot of different thoughts and ways to go about doing things. So LinkedIn would be great because that way you can see some new content from me every day and connect, and or go to my website at davesandersonspeaks.com where you can really find anything you want about me, whether it's the books, some of the, I have a private group now, we have Impact, where I'm taking a small group of people and really teaching them this exclusive content that I don't share in the public, but I also give them access to the mentors that I've had over these last 30 years in bringing them in so they can have great coaching and great mentoring in a group process. And they're interested in that. They go to my website under, you know, check it out, Impact Likewise. And then I have my course called Cultivating Personal Leadership. And I've developed a 12-step course about how to really build your personal leadership skills. And it's I'm very proud of that. That's also there too. So if I just love to interact with people and help any way I can.
Well, Dave Sanderson, much success to you, brother, in the future. Kill it tomorrow with your presentation. Now, who are you talking to really quick, Dave?
It's the Northeastern Florida Sheriff's Conference sponsored by the Columbia County Sheriff's Association. So here in Lake City, Florida. So I'm really honored. I've never been to Lake City. Yeah. This is a beautiful little community about 50 miles west of Jacksonville, but it's going to be, you know, a couple hundred sheriff and sheriff's deputies from this part of the world. So I'm very honored to do that.
Well, I wish I was there to see you, brother. And like I said, much success to you in the future, sir. We'll have all that information about Dave Sanderson linked up in the show notes, sir. Well, you take care, my friend, and hopefully I'll talk with you later on.
Same here. Thank you very much, Patrick.
All right, brother. Take care.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.